Then also, we're going to be having another elder nomination here in the next couple of weeks, so be praying about that. It's going to take a special one because he's going to have to get along with me and Dave. And then preparatory and communion is October 5th, so mark your calendars for that. Anybody else have announcements? Colby?
I have an announcement for Life Enrichment. So it's coming up here in the next 2 weeks, I believe, and if you have not signed up, that's okay. You're still welcome to come. Just contact me and let me know if you plan to come, what class, and the if you have any kids for child care. So September 17th is the first one, and also, I forgot to say, Everybody Matters. Whoever signed up for Everybody Matters, I set out books just down at the connection room. There's a little paper inside with instructions on the class. So grab a book if you have not. And for the couples, I actually counted both of you, so you can grab two books if you want to, or one. And those books, if you could just bring $5, if you want to put that towards tithe and earmark it, or bring $5 that night, that would help cover the cost. So, yeah. And lastly, if you guys look in the bulletin, Benson Troyer, it's his birthday, and he's 20. Please wish him a happy birthday if you see him.
Thanks, Colby. Anybody else have an announcement? Carson?
Well, good morning. I am curious this morning, who here has ever been on the New York City bus trip that we take? Raise your hand. I'd like to see your hands. We've got a good amount of references if you have questions about the New York City bus trip then. We first started going in fall of 2001. You can remember what happened in New York City in the fall of 2001. We went for about 20 years, and I think we stopped over COVID. But this is our second year going again. We announced it last Sunday. It's not just a youth trip. We have plenty of room. We've got a good mix. It's going to be a diverse group, and I'm looking for more volunteers. So I think last Sunday we had about 20. In that last week, we are now at 45 people. So thank you if you signed up. We're excited to go. That means we have 10 more seats left on the bus, and we would really love to fill the bus. It's a good weekend of encouragement. It's a little bit scary talking to people on the subways. I get it. But it is a upbuilding, encouraging weekend where you can plant seeds, we pass out tracts, we witness on the subway, we sing, and we have a good time of fellowship together. So the dates are September 19th to 21. We leave early Friday morning and come home late Sunday night. It's a quick weekend. We'd love for you to come with us. We have 10 more seats. If you have any questions, ask somebody who had their hand raised, or you can come find me. It's $100 per person. My number's on the screen, or you can find someone who has my number. Let me know. 10 more people. We'd love to have you come to New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Carson. Okay, if there's no more announcements, we're going to go into prayer requests. So if you have a prayer request, just stand up and we'll get a mic to you. Definitely want to pray for the Miller family as they mourn the loss of Neoma this morning. They're having a funeral. It's just something else how 2 months ago they had no idea something was wrong with her, and now she's being buried today. So things can happen quickly. And also pray for Sam Mass as he continues to recover from his surgery. I think he still is on liquids, but he's doing good from what Sam said this morning. So pray for him. And let's see, what else do we have? pray for our missionaries over in wherever they are. Say, serve. Anybody else have prayer requests? Yamlet?
I'd like to request prayer for Ada May and her family. She's a close friend of mine from years I grew up in Missouri. Her husband was killed in a tragic accident. She's remarried, but her oldest son died during COVID time, and now her youngest daughter's son was killed yesterday, 8 years old. I haven't heard details what happened, but just a lot of sorrow and heartache, and yet rejoicing that we have a blessed hope and they're all over in Glory Land. But let's pray for the grieving.
Thank you, Yamlet.
I request prayer for Jason Beachy, JB Feeds. He bought the place where we used to live. And a couple of weeks ago, he found out he has cancer. And has it in his lungs, his liver, and also in his kidneys. And he's been in and out of the hospital a couple of times already. They took a sample and tried to figure out what they need to give him for his cancer, and so far they haven't given him anything. So pray for him. He has the chimney feeds, and he's not married, and he used to come to this church, but he doesn't anymore. I'm not sure where he's going. Jason Beachy.
Thank you. Thank you, Owen. That's tough news. Anybody else? Any prayer requests? Also pray for the Miller Yoder family that is dealing with the tragedy in Atwood Lake as they navigate through going through the court system now. It would just be really painful to deal with the loss of a family like that and then have to go through the court yet with lawyers and whatnot all. Okay, if we don't have any more, let's bow our heads for prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we can enjoy, that you give us as a gift. Thank you for each person here today. I pray your blessing on each one. Help us to worship you, spirit and truth. And there may be someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would get to know you today, Lord. And just bless each person that's here today. Bless Sam as he brings a message. Pray your Holy Spirit upon him, that he would speak out of his heart that would only come from you and through your power and through your strength. Be with Ada May as she deals with the loss of family, Lord, throughout her life. I just pray your power upon her. Would your grace be sufficient for her to get her through these times and draw her closer to you. Also pray for Jason Beachy, Lord. Would you be with him in a mighty way as he deals with this terrible news. I just pray you'd bless him with your grace. Would you give him healing, Lord, and lead him to the right doctors, and would you show the doctors what needs to be done, that he would be healed through your power and through your strength. Be with the Miller family as they going through the funeral, Lord. I pray your drawing Holy Spirit upon each one, Lord, and give them peace, and would they just grieve you well, and would you empower them to get through these times. Also, be with the Miller and Yoder family as they deal with the loss of little Vincent and Marcus. I just pray that you'd be with them through these times and help them to, would you lead them, and would your grace surround them, Lord, as they struggle with the loss and also with going through the court now, Lord. I just pray that your name be glorified and that people would be drawn to you through this, Lord. Yes, thank you for salvation, King Jesus, for dying on the cross and providing a way for us into heaven. Thank you and praise you and bless your holy name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, good morning. We're having a few technical difficulties with the slides. Never mind, we're not. all right, I ask that you all would stand with us and praise the Lord this morning. Our first song is Your Grace is Enough. Introduce to you guys another new song to introduce to you. This one is called You've Already Won, and I have to think of all of the different times in the Bible, whether it be Abraham, whether it be Jehoshaphat, whether it be David, who
went out, whether it be to sacrifice Isaac or to wage war against an enemy of Israel. And each time they had faith that what they were doing, was going to, God was going to come through for them. And in this song, it talks about, that we're fighting a battle that he's already won. And the battle is already won. We just need, we need faith in him that he is going to supply us with what we need, and he is going to come through for us, because he will come through for us. But we need to have faith. And James talks about it in James 2, that faith without action or faith without works is it's not faith. It's faith, but it he says, I will show you my faith with my actions, with my works. Sometimes when we when God asks us to have faith in him, he also asks us to take a leap of faith, to take a step, even when it doesn't seem like it's gonna work, because God has a plan and God knows the future and he knows what he has planned. So let's sing "You've Already Won." Jesus, thank you so much that you have already won the battle and that we need to have faith in you and that you will provide for us when we need you. You provide for us even when we don't ask. You've provided everything that we have, the clothes that we're wearing, the cars that we're driving, everything that we have in our lives, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual, you have given it to us. God, I pray that you would just be with us and that you would give us strength for the rest of this day and the rest of this week. All right. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Good morning and a welcome to everyone to God's house, to Gospel Haven. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar chapter study that we're going to be looking at this morning. But I felt prompted as I was praying to go to this passage and to share a message out of this chapter. Just as you're turning there, just like to refer a little bit to Merle Mullet was up here and doing announcements and prayer requests. And thank you, Merle, for doing that. And he mentioned about praying about adding an elder. Kurt Yoder, who was ordained in May, had been the third elder. We always have three. And so be praying about that. Always appreciate our elders there. three of the men that meet with us on a monthly basis at our leadership meetings and give us, help us just with direction and decisions that we make here at the church. So be praying about that. And rely a lot on them for wisdom and just working together. Looks maybe like we don't have a screen up here. I'm not sure what's going on. But I'd like to just, Paul, you know, Paul talks a lot. I'd like to read verse 1 and then just reflect on some of the what's going on in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Well, who are these witnesses? Whenever, anytime a chapter starts with "therefore," you need to look back to the other chapter, which is chapter 11, which, if I counted right, talks about 17 different men and women who have gone before us, going before the writer, which we refer to as Paul. So my challenge and question, my first question to you this morning, as you're running the race, which Paul uses a metaphor of a race. We just sang a song this morning, "The battle is already won." Even though we profess to be peaceful, non-resistant people, if you really think about it, the Christian life is more about activity and a race and warfare and a battle than we realize, than we want to admit sometimes. Different times in the New Testament, Paul refers to a race. 1 Corinthians 9, Galatians 5 says, "You did not run well." Philippians 2:16, "I have not run in vain." He also talks about that it's like a boxing match in 1 Corinthians 9:26. And so it's often compared to warfare. In other words, what Paul is saying, the Christian life is an active life. It's not a time to sit around, "Oh, okay, now I've accepted Christ as my Savior and born again. Now I can just sit back and just take it easy." That's not what it's about. I have not found out that in my life. And if you are a new believer, you're not going to find that in your life. But it takes activity every day. But Paul says here we're supposed to look back at them. Question for you. Are you living a life in a way that people that are maybe younger or are going to come after you've passed away are going to say, "You know what, I'm going through a tough time, but because of the way James Yoder lived his life, I'm going to be faithful. He inspired me. What I hear about him or what I hear about Tim or what I hear about Lauren, or I'm going to be faithful." That just inspires me. Are you and I living that kind of life? Because what if we wouldn't have chapter 11? That's inspiring when you read those. So let's just look at 23. It says Moses. There's a bunch of six verses here, at least maybe seven about Moses. It always says, "By faith Moses," when he was born. Verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt." Verse 28, "By faith he kept the Passover." Verse 29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea." And as we go through this message today, there's a theme here of faith, being faithful. And that's what God is calling us to do, even in the hard times. Go back to verse 1. "We're surrounded with this great cloud." Then it says, "Let us lay aside every weight." That's one that we're going to look at. Second one is, "And the sin which so easily ensnares us." And then it says, "Let us run with endurance." King James says patience. How do you run with patience? Sheldon, did you run with patience yesterday? Not. There was a race in Berlin yesterday. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. The race that is set before us. So yesterday morning, the Amish country half marathon 10K and 5K was took off from Grace Mennonite, made a loop. About over 900 runners. I took the privilege yesterday morning of going over there. partly because of this message, but partly because I enjoy running myself, but because of a bum knee, I couldn't. But I observed some things reflecting on this message here. As I was standing there, and there was a lot of hype there, as always is before a race. A lot of music and a lot of talking, and they had prayer, but it says they were supposed to cast off every weight. I didn't see one runner out of over almost between 900 to 1,000 people who had like Carhartts on or work boots or big heavy coats, or I didn't see any with a backpack. Well, I've already heard of some doing it just to make a point. But no, they all were, most of them were in fairly good shape physically, and they all had just, they had running clothes on and running shoes. Why is that? Because they wanted to run as fast as they could and finish the race with the least amount of time. And Paul says, he uses this analogy, this metaphor to the Christian life, that we are supposed to put off everything that is hindering us from running the race of life, the Christian life. Now, the first thing we have to do, we have to get in the race. And I'm going to refer to that as becoming a believer, to get in the race, the Christian race. If you didn't pre-register for this race yesterday morning and you walked in there, you couldn't, you probably, well, you could have run, but your timing wouldn't have been on the, whatever that thing is that you run through. And they probably wouldn't have let you run because you didn't have a bib with a number on it. So you were just, no, you're not supposed to run here. In fact, I was talking with James's son, Brent. He said, we oversold it, so hopefully some of them won't show up. So first of all, we have to get in the race if we want to be in the race of life as a believer. You have to enter before you can hope to win. And it's a race of endurance. The race, the Greek meaning of the actual word for the race here is interesting. It comes, it's a word spelled A-G-O-N, agon, and it's where we get our word agony. And so it's not a passive word. I don't know, there was a number of you running yesterday if you had any agony or not. I'm sure some ibuprofen was taken this morning by at least some of the 900 runners. But if we think about that, the Christian life can be agonizing sometimes because we face difficult things. And so I didn't stay around till they finished, but I know that when they come through the finish line, there are always, in fact, there was a group of people there cheering when they left, and there was probably a bigger crowd cheering when they came back. Was there Sheldon? There were a lot of people. David, some of you guys who were running. So a lot of people cheering. And during the race, at different places, there's water stations or drink stations, and there's often people cheering. And that's a beautiful picture of what you and I should be doing as believers for other Christians, to cheer them on, to encourage them, to give them a drink of water. And you can use that as a metaphor. What is that? I have a sticky note in my Bible that says, and I try to read this every Sunday morning. I don't know where I got this, and I'm sure it's not you, but this says 9 out of 10 people who walk into church this morning feel insecure, unappreciated, and overwhelmed. Now, is that statistically true? I don't know, but I read that and it's like, wow. We need to encourage each other. Now, I know the overwhelmed part. There's some of us here that feel overwhelmed this morning, right? You're facing things that feels a little overwhelming. Underappreciated, maybe you've done some things this week and nobody said thank you. Would have at least been nice if they would have said thank you. But something to think about. Let's go on. What I'd like to look at today is laying aside every weight, looking at the sin which ensnares us, and laying aside the weight, and then running with endurance, looking unto Jesus, because we need to look somewhere to keep our focus, and then the chastening, I don't know if we'll get there, and then encouragement. So I looked at where the phrase where it says, lay aside every weight in verse 1. I don't know what your center column says, but one of the verses that it refers to is Colossians 3:8. Let me read Colossians 3:8. It says, to lay aside, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. There's different verses we can look at, but how many times I still remember in first grade when our teacher took us through the Pilgrim's Progress, and she had this kind of cloth where you could stick figures on, like figurines, and I remember the one character had this huge bundle on his back, like a backpack, and that backpack was referred to as sin, and he was hunched over. And here, the description in Colossians 3:8 talks about some of these things. If we have anger in our life, or bitterness, or unforgiveness, that's like a huge weight on us as Christians that we will not be very successful in running the Christian life. It's going to be difficult. It's going to slow you down. And in fact, it can slow you down so much that you're just tired up and you're just going to quit if it gets too heavy. So, it says in verse 1 that we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, ensnares us, but it says then that it's supposed to run with patience. So I'd like to just, one of the words that came up was encumbrances. And that are things, that are like habits and choices that you and I make that keep us from running the race. It just encumbers us, and it just kind of entangles you, and it ties you up. I've had those things happen in my life where something in life happened to me and it consumed me to the point where it was affecting my spiritual life, my personal relationship with God, and my relationship with others, maybe family or even people here at church. And when I was willing to stop and look at whatever this was and ask for help to work through it, I found freedom. Maybe something totally different for you this morning. Another thing that it says in verse 1, another thing that can really hinder us is simply getting involved in things on this earth that, like material things, to where our focus is so much on maybe getting this career accomplished or finishing this goal, or making this amount of money, or collecting these many things. Now, the one word that came up in study here was temperance. In other words, temperance means to be modest in everything you do. And when I say getting involved in things on this earth, there's nothing wrong with having a collection of things, or maybe you're a person that loves to go fishing, or maybe you're a person that has a hobby. There's nothing wrong with those things. The latest rave that we all know about is pickleball. And there's nothing wrong with playing pickleball. In fact, a surgeon said he's doing more surgeries on older individuals with shoulder and knee injuries from pickleball, playing pickleball. So I don't play much, nothing wrong, it's a great game. But it comes back to be everything in modesty and with temperance. In other words, that it doesn't consume you. And maybe you're here this morning and that's you. If you are, I'll challenge you to just take whatever that is and just lay it aside for 2 weeks to give it up. To see if you're, it could be food. It could be something that, it could be a drink. It could be social media? Surely not. That can consume a lot of hours in people's day. So whatever it is, I don't know what it is for you, and if there's nothing, I commend you. But Satan has a way, and I wrote this down, false gods or idols promise everything you want and nothing that you need. Think about that. False gods and attractive things on this earth promise everything you want and nothing that you need. Isn't that true? The things that look so attractive that if I just get this, then I'll be happy or then I'll be fulfilled. It's not going to do that for you. The sin which easily ensnares. And the Greek meaning of the word sin here is to miss the mark. In other words, you shoot the arrow and you simply have missed the mark. And the sin is something is like a snare. I don't know how many of you ever do any trapping, but one of the ways that trappers catch animals is with a snare. When we spent the winter in Canada, there were quite a few people that had trap lines, and one of the best ways that they could trap animals is with a snare, where an animal walks through underneath a branch and through the ring of a wire, and it snares them, and it usually snaps up until the trapper comes along. One of the things that it talks about here, I refer to is faith. And doubt and unbelief and faith contradict themselves. It is very hard for us to have faith in God and yet have doubt and unbelief. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses. I'm not going to have you turn to it, but it says, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. So it's by faith that we believe, and it's by faith that we walk and run this race. One of the things that I came across, and I had a picture of it here, but it's not up here, but there's a plant that is called the carnivorous plant. Anybody here have a carnivorous plant? They don't grow too well here. It's more like South Carolina and South Aura. There's different names, a pitcher plant, a sundew plant, or the Venice flytrap. But it's a plant that looks extremely attractive, and it's such a good metaphor or example of how we get trapped in Satan's attractive things for us. And there's insects. This plant needs insects to live. It needs the protein from insects. So a fly lands on the leaf of this plant, and it's sticky, and so its feet get stuck. And so as a picture that I have is of the fly, then, well, while I'm here, I'm stuck, I might as well eat what I came here for, and it puts its tongue out, then its tongue gets stuck in the plant. And all of a sudden, the plant actually closes up, and it totally consumes the fly, and in 2 hours, there's nothing but just a shell, because that plant literally eats the inside of the fly. I heard about it, but I never knew about it till I was reading in a commentary. I'm surprised nobody has one. Does anybody have one? Maybe not. Okay. I think for what I read is from South Carolina on down in the Sun Belt is where they grow. But that is such a good example of what happens to us. This looks so attractive. And I'm just going to dabble a little bit in this. And I've stood in the prison crusades, I have stood outside the cell of many a man who said this, I never figured I would end up here when I started the journey of life that I did. I've not only heard it in prison, I've heard it right in this community when I meet with people. Say, I never thought I would end up here. So be careful what looks attractive, because Satan will try to, in the race of life, he'll get you to try to stop and enjoy pleasure for a little bit of time, and before you know it, you are pulled into it. Running with endurance in verse 2, it says, or in verse 1, but in verse 2 it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it tells us who we are supposed to look at, but when you think of running a race with endurance, we're looking at steady determination to keep going. And Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. And one of that armor is the shield of faith, and it's a protection. So do you ever think about that faith is a protection for us? That's what Paul calls it. It's a shield of faith. And 1 Peter 1:13 is a very good verse to remember that it's not about as much physical life as it is our mind and our thought life. It says here, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we wake up in the morning, we are to prepare our minds and our hearts for the day. I love to start my day in God's words. That's what I do. I don't know how you start it. You might start it early. But at some point during the day, before you go out, I strongly encourage you, if you don't, to get into God's word and prayer. It says here that we're supposed to get our minds ready. And then the other one is to looking unto Jesus. Who else can we look to? A better example, because he lived on this earth and he endured. It goes on to say what he endured in verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And then it says, lest you become weary and discouraged in our souls. So again, as we run the race of a Christian life, it says that we're supposed to, when it says consider, we're supposed to look at that and say, how did he do that? I wasn't there yesterday when the fastest guy came in from the half marathon. But it'd be interesting if you would interview him and say, how did you do that? What did you do that you won this race? How did you do it that fast? And he would tell you how he did it. What he didn't eat, probably. I didn't see, and they had hot noodles at the end, I always do. I didn't see any racer go down before the race and eat a big bowl of noodles before the race. No, that's going to hinder you. The same way in a Christian life, if you consume things that are not helpful, that are maybe not bad, it wouldn't have been wrong for a racer, a runner, to go eat a huge bowl of noodles, but I don't know if he would have finished a race. And it might not be wrong for you and I to get involved in something, but is it the best thing? There's a verse in the Bible that probably brought more, probably talked more to my conscience as a boy growing up that my dad would quote, probably when I was a teenager. And he would say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That actually spoke louder to me than if my dad would have had a list of rules of things that I could do or could not do. Because as I heard that and walked away, it's like, well, I know what I'm supposed to do, but this really looks attractive. I'd really like to do this. But I know what Dad wants me to do. And I know that verse would ring in my ears. So gird up the loins of your mind if you want to run with endurance. I'm going to read verse looking unto Jesus, and then it talks about here, verse 4, we're going to read it, and it's, what it talks about here is chastening or correction. And this isn't, none of us like this, but it's necessary. Can you imagine what our church house would sound like this morning if all the parents here would not be chastening their children or disciplining them, we would have chaos. In fact, it's really quiet in here this morning. I know there's two young married group camping, and there's a number of them at the funeral, so it is quieter this morning. But I've said I love the sound of children in the church, so don't take it wrong that I don't want children here. But if we would not, if none of us would have disciplined our children growing up, what kind of a place would we have? What kind of a church would it be? What kind of community would we have if we don't teach and train? And in verse 4 through 11, actually, it mentions that word seven times. Let's read verse 4 through 11. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Then it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are all illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, Paul talks a lot about correction. That's what the word chastening means. It means to discipline or correct by training, instruction, or punishment. Now, none of us like that, do we? None of us liked it growing up when Dad, I don't know who would have disciplined you growing up, Mom or Dad, probably both. And probably all of us say we probably didn't receive as much as we should have, at least your siblings didn't. Or the youngest one didn't. That's what they always say about me since I'm the youngest one. That's probably because I didn't need it as much, but not really. But it's really something. In verse 9 he says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. So it says that our parents, our dad, corrected us and we respected them for it. How much more when God allows things, our Heavenly Father allows things to come into your life to chasten us, to correct us, how much more we should actually appreciate it and respect it. It's not easy. But Paul says in verse 11, it isn't joyful for the present. It's painful. But afterwards, look what he says it does afterwards. The peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we are in training the things that God, the most difficult person, it could be that God is allowing you to work with someone that is extremely difficult to get along with. I'm sure there's some of you here that know exactly who that person is. It could be that God has that person right now in your life to mold you and shape you who he wants you to be. It could be also a sibling. It could be maybe someone in the youth group. That God allows that person to be in your life to help and shape and mold you who he wants you to be. So we often pray, God, just get me out of this. Just remove this person or help me find another job or move somewhere else so I can get out of this community because it's so hard to live here. Don't be so quick to move. Don't be so quick to run, because God has you there, could have you there for a reason, to mold you into who he wants you to be. Nevertheless, as we wrap up today, I would like to give you a challenge. And I'd like for you to look back one chapter in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And it's the heading of that section that says, "Hold fast your confession." But it says here, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And also, Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So my encouragement to you this morning, and my assignment to you this morning, and encouragement, the word encouragement in Greek means to give strength of heart. So this week, I want you to go out about wherever you're assigned, wherever your job is, wherever you're traveling, and I want you to find five people. Maybe you can write the names down before you go to work tomorrow morning, before you go about, write them down today, that you're going to encourage five people. Okay? You can write them down right now if you want to. If someone comes to your mind, write the name down. Because we all need encouragement. Exhorting is in Hebrews 24. Exhorting means to call near, to invite, and to comfort. And when it means to call near, that means, hey, come alongside me and I'll walk with you. And that might not mean literally, that might mean checking in on them a couple times this week to see how they're doing, to go visit someone, to call someone, to send them an encouraging text and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," or sharing a verse. Because all of us need that. The language of encouragement is universal. You agree with that? Everyone can speak it, everyone can understand it, and everyone needs it. I mean, everyone. I don't think there's any of you that will say by the end of this week that, you know what, there's five people that encouraged me this week, and I was just, it was so frustrating. It was just the worst thing that ever happened, that someone came up to me and encouraged me. That's not what you're going to say. It gives you life. When someone speaks an encouraging word, it gives you energy for your spiritual life, even for things that you're facing today. Do you agree with me? So my challenge to you, and I invite Colin and the worship team to come up here. This week, share a word of encouragement, a verse, or pray with someone. This week, as you go about your week. Because the word encouragement in Greek means that it gives strength of heart. And who doesn't need strength of heart to run the race that Hebrews 12, Paul talks about in Hebrews 12, especially with some of the things that we faced in this community. When I think of the Joe Miller family, of Aaron and Julie and Ryan and Abby, and losing their mother at a young age of 51, they need encouragement, they need prayer. When I think of the Miller and the Yoder family, the tragedy 2 weeks ago in Atwood Lake, they need encouragement, they need prayer. Not just them, but especially when you grieve the loss of such a tragedy. All of us need it. All of us enjoy it. All of us want that. And we need others to come and surround us. So what's the challenge this week? Encourage five different people. Maybe it's just, guys, maybe it's just tonight, today, or whenever, this week, tell your mom, "Thank you for the good meal. Thank you for washing my clothes. I really appreciate it." There could be other things. That's my challenge for all of us. God bless you for being here, It's good to have all of you here. Let's all stand and we'll have prayer and have a closing song. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of this day. Thank you that we can gather as a church and we can look back at the race that has run before us and the multitude of people in chapter 11 of Hebrews who were faithful and that give us something to look forward to one day be in heaven with them. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, that we can look to him. Thank you for even others who have just recently passed on that we can look to. And I pray, God, for everyone sitting here this morning, that we would live a life that when we are no longer here, that people will look back and reflect and say, you know, the way that he or she lived their life is an encouragement to me, and I'm going to choose to be faithful like they were. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you for the gift of salvation and the freedom we can have through Christ. You forgive us our sins, and that we can let go of those burdens and live a free life to run the race, as Paul talks about here in Hebrews 12. The Father, bless us as we go from here. We honor you. We love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.